Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Chuck Colazzi. Today is Wednesday, April the 24th, 2024, and our reading today is from the gospel according to St. John. It is the Wednesday of the fourth week of Easter. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him, the word that I spoke. It will condemn him on the last day. Because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." So once again, we have another great passage from John's Gospel. And once again, these are deep. These are harder to understand. They're harder to preach about. But Jesus constantly talks about his Father, and he affirms that I only do what the Father wants me to do. I also do what I see the Father doing. In particular, the Father pours out his life to the Son and to all of us. The Father sacrifices his Son. And so Jesus, what does Jesus do? He pours out his life for all of us that he loves. They are both persons of great sacrifice. And so Jesus has come to bring light into the darkness. And so much of it has to do with the word that he speaks, which is from the Father. He is the word, yet he speaks a word, and it all comes from the Father. Jesus comes from the Father to heal, to preach, to teach. And he is obedient, and just as Jesus is obedient to the Father and to the Father's word, we all must be obedient. I was thinking a little bit for the topic of this particular sermon of just Jesus saying, "I didn't come to condemn the world." So many people have the wrong idea about God because we've grown up with the negative message of you better be good, you better do this, you better do that. And you know, there's a place for that. There's a place for the law. Jesus said, "I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill the law." Jesus tells us not to get rid of the law. They will be least in the kingdom of heaven if they try to do away with even the smallest letter of the law. But those who keep the law, they will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus still affirms the law, but he says, "I am not the one that condemns. It is the word that condemns. It's the law that condemns. But I have come to save." And this is why we always, this is the good news. When we preach to others, when we share our faith with others, how very often we want to lead with the moral rules instead of leading with the message of mercy, leading with the message of, as Jesus did, "I've come to not to call the righteous, but to call sinners." Jesus reaching out to the greatest sinners. Candace Owens just became Catholic. And this is just one example I could give you of so many things. But online, everybody's talking about her. And some people are saying, "Isn't it great she's become Catholic?" But then there's others already bad-mouthing her. "Well, she's not a good Catholic." What? How do you know? But based on the different things that she says, oh, she leans this way and she says these things and she's off in this direction. All right, she just became Catholic. And becoming Catholic means she just became Christian as well. She just got baptized, etc. I don't know if all these details are exactly correct. She might have been baptized before. But my point is, welcome, Candace. That's what we should be saying. Welcome. And you know, it's like Shia LaBeouf, you know, when he made the Padre Pio movie. All right, I didn't see the movie because I heard there's bad stuff in it, whatever. But becoming Catholic and being influenced by the Latin Mass, okay, I'm sure Shia has a long way to go, just like I do, just like you do. Shia did movies that were off color in the past, and now suddenly Shia LaBeouf is, am I even saying the name right? But, you know, this actor is coming to the faith. Let's not be so quick to criticize, like, oh, well, there's rules, and he didn't follow this, and he's probably not going to follow that. And the same with Candace. Well, she's probably not a good Catholic. As opposed to saying, welcome. And Jesus is our Savior. And let's talk about the good news. Let's talk about all the times he's forgiven me. Let's talk about all the people he's healed, emotionally and spiritually and physically. And how I was thinking as I was praying about this, we're not in this relationship with Jesus, once again, out of fear and out of, well, I better do this. This is an obligation. But, you know, Jesus comes to save. Jesus comes to love. If we fail, it's because we've broken the law, but it's also because we haven't sought his love, his mercy. And very often, all throughout the Bible, Jesus does this. It's in the Old Testament. It's in Revelation. We look at the relationship with God and in comparing it to a romantic relationship. And I was thinking about what St. Paul says to the Ephesians, his advice to couples. And I know we hear, when we hear that reading, we hear like, oh, wives obey your husband. And we want to isolate that and say, yeah, St. Paul was a chauvinist. But the point of that reading is mutual deference or deference, however you want to say that. Wives, follow your husband, obey your husband, follow your husband's lead. Husbands, love your wife so much that you lay down your life for her and are willing to die for her. I was talking to a female friend about this a little while back. You know, how do you follow that advice? Obey your husband. And she said, well, it's mutual. And I mean, you know, we all understand this to be mutual. Pope John Paul wrote about it. But she said, you know, if I'm married to a guy that's willing to die for me, if that's his agenda to lay down his life for me, I'm going to follow him. If his agenda is to love me indefinitely, I'm going to let him lead because that's his goal, to love me. Of course, I'm going to let him lead. I'm going to let myself be loved, right? Anyway, the point, once again, people want to isolate and people want to say it's, oh, for negative reasons. Yes, the man's in charge and the woman should just be obey. But no, the point is mutual deference. And this is what Jesus is saying he wants in his relationship with you and me. He will lay down his life for us, and he asks us to lay down our lives for him and for one another. This is what he asks. He doesn't come after us in this attitude of, I'm going to get you. I got lightning bolts in my pocket, and I got one with your name on it. As soon as you step out of line, I'm hurling one of these at you. I'm going to blow up your home, too, and your family. That's not the God that I worship. That's not the God of Christianity. The God of Christianity says, let's lay down our lives for each other. And if we don't make it, it's because we haven't done that. It's because we're still caught up in our own selfishness. In other words, I'm not condemning you. You're condemning yourself, and the law condemns you, yeah, because you're still a slave of that law, and you haven't done a good job of it, because nobody's going to be perfect when it comes to following the law. So this is our faith. It's to lay down your life for God, for one another, and that recognition that this is what Jesus is doing for us, because the Father does it first, and Jesus imitates the Father. This is Mary saying, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me as you say. I was thinking, I mean, really, in all the lives of the saints, we see this, that laying down. I was thinking, for whatever reason, I guess because I'm working with kids a lot recently, I was thinking of St. John Bosco. And just when you read his writings, I mean, the guy lived a long time. He worked with kids, young kids, a very long time, and yet he was constantly challenging himself to be more sacrificial towards them. I mean, I know I lack patience. And, you know, here he's living with these kids, and yet it's more. Oh, look, there's extra food. Well, that kid might be hungry. Give it to him. I don't want it. there's a kid that's hurting who's needy, and there's hundreds of others, and it's 11 o'clock at night. Well, I'm going to stay with them as long as they need me. That was his mentality. That's a true priest. That's a good priest. I'm going to lay down my life as much as needed for the good of these others, especially these little ones, the ones most in need. I was thinking also of the movie Fireproof, one of my favorite movies, even though the acting isn't the greatest thing in the world. It's Kirk Cameron. Many of you have seen it. Some of you maybe haven't. It's a great movie. I love the movie. The Kendrick brothers, I think they've made like 10 movies now, and this is one of their earlier ones, about a marriage that has failed. And so the husband is the first to learn that he's a lousy husband. And the reason the marriage isn't working, he thinks it's all her fault, but he comes to realize through the Lord, through his father helping him to grow in faith, that he needed to lay himself down better. He needed to be more sacrificial. And in the end, he says to his wife, you know, even if you don't love me back, and he apologizes to her for all that he's done, but he says, God put this love in my heart for you, and I'm going to continue to love you as long as you let me. As long as I'm, you know, as long as we're breathing, I'm going to continue to love you. I'm going to be the best spouse to you as I can be. And I hope you'll accept my love. And eventually she follows his example. She learns from what he's doing. But the whole movie really is about his journey of learning. This is not working because I have not laid myself down. I have not been sacrificial enough. In fact, in this covenant of matrimony, which is all about serving the other, laying your life down before the other, that character in the story realized, I have failed. This isn't about some mutual arrangement where we both get what we want. It's about mutual deference. It's about, as Pope John Paul would say, the law of the gift and making yourself a total gift to this other person. Pope John Paul would say, and of course it's the words of Jesus as well, it's better to give than to receive. And we find fulfillment in life by giving of ourselves, but then he takes it even further. And Mother Teresa would say things like that all the time as well. That's where we find our happiness and fulfillment in giving. But then he would say, you know, when it comes to marriage, it's a total gift of self. I am a gift to this other person. And in fact, I am a gift, period. That doesn't mean, oh, look at me, I'm God's gift to the world. No, it means I make a gift of myself to the other. I lay myself down, and that's where I find my fulfillment. And just as that's the case in marriage, marriage is one of the ultimate examples that the Bible gives us, that our faith gives us, of the relationship with the Lord and what we call the wedding banquet of the Lamb. Jesus gives everything. He asks us to give everything back. But we can do it because he's done it first, and he gives us the grace to do it. So we ask today for that grace to do what Jesus is saying, which is him and imitating his Father. And that is, I did not come to condemn, I did not come to punish, I have come to save, I have come to sacrifice myself for all of you. Have a great day. God bless you.